Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. This woman is definitely a sister from another mister for me. Her name is Shauna, and she decided to quit her job at a Walmart in Lubbock, Texas. And she said she wanted to quit this job that made her absolutely miserable for a year and 7 months, so she went out in epic style.
Oh, boy.
She grabbed the store's intercom and announced her resignation and named names of employees she felt deserved to be singled out.
Attention, all Walmart shoppers, associates, and managers. My name is Shauna from Cap 2, and I just want to come on here and say Henry is a racist, stinky Elias is a of a manager. This company treats their employees like especially Cap 2.
Where the hell is Cap 2? And what is Cap 2?
I'm not even sure what Cap 1, Cap 2 is.
I'm glad that the news reporters do the work for us. Cap 2, for the record, unloads stock from the trucks and stacks to the shelves.
Oh.
But I guess there's other problems in this store as well. But that was there's the video of her right there just tick-tocking away her resignation.
See, we didn't have that.
This bitch.
We didn't have that back in my day. I just had to go on the intercom and there was no record of it.
Oh my gosh, you would have been a TikTok superstar if you videoed your meltdowns on the intercom.
Oh man. As Shauna's announcement continued for a full minute, she also named employees she thought were perverts, all like you said, while she's recording this on TikTok. It's received millions of views.
Jimmy from Sporting Goods, Joseph the cashier, Larry from Garden Center. You are all perverts. And I hope you don't talk to your daughters the way you talk to me. Shout out to Ariel. Love you for getting me this job a year ago when I needed it most. Managers, this company, this position, that big lazy Chris Price. I quit.
Wow.
I'm out.
I'm out. Whoa.
Quit this bitch.
Boy, I know how she feels, though.
F the managers, F the company, F this position, and F that big lazy biatch.
Yeah. I know how she feels, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did you have someone like Ariel that was really... I love it. Another thing is that she's like calling people out for being racist and perverts. Oh, but shout out to Ariel. Thanks for getting me this
cool
job. Yeah. I'd actually be like, F you, Ariel. Why didn't you tell me that this job sucks?
Well, she needed the money. You can't be picky. You can't be choosy. Poor Ariel. Yeah, it was nice she gave a shout-out to Ariel. It really is. It's like in the midst of the tirade, I can't forget my homie.
That's got to be awkward for Ariel now after she leaves. Now everybody's going to be like, yo, what's up with your friend?
Yeah, Ariel's like, wow, I'm sorry that I recommended her, guys.
Well, Jimmy from Joey, Larry. Larry from the Garden Center. I always thought he was perverted.
I got to be honest. You go to a Garden Center and you just got to wonder about some of them hoes.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Did I do that?
Go home. No, I'm not. I'm going to be on the intercom first. Then I'll go home.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks,
buddy.
It's
a dad joke. Of course you like
it. Yeah, see? That's what you've got cats that you say you're a dad. You're not a real dad. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. That, you know, boy, I've always wanted to say that when I've left every job. I would love to be able to just shout out everybody and then put down everybody who I thought really just did not deserve to be there.
I would say, like, if it was, like, the last day ever of our gig, like, what would I do?
Ooh.
And it would be we're always told to kill them with kindness and just, like, don't let the trolls get to you. I think that would be the day where I just let the trolls know what I think of them.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that is that. You're right.
You have zero repercussions. Like, I know, like, it's not the, look, I know, take the high road, and that's nice and all that good stuff. But there are days where you just want to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, and say it in way more colorful language.
Yeah.
And just let people, like, know. Like, the ones that are, like, people who hide behind keyboards and are just miserable Fs. I guess I'm doing it right now. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you kind of, you know what? Is this your last day? I don't know about it.
No. Well, okay. That'd be awkward if it was.
That would be
really. It's not intentional.
It's sort of Steve's kind way of calling out the trolls. You know, it's funny. When I first started here 20 some odd years ago, I would have said, yeah, my blaze of glory would be just destroying everybody that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
But 20 years later, really, you're right. The problem is not within the company. The problem is, unfortunately, some of the trolls on the internet. I have nothing bad to say about anybody I work with. It's just the same problem you have. It's like some of the people on Facebook and Twitter that we just have to read their stuff, and it's just like the worst horrible stuff you'd want to ever, like, who is this person?
I never would think to just, like, text a random stranger, which is what we are in a way. I mean, the most miserable things, like saying something nice, I mean, that's awesome. I think more of us should do that just in life in general, just like tell strangers nice things. But to, like, just spew such anger and hate and not know the person, just be like, nah, I'm just going to tell them how I feel. It's like, well, why? What did that accomplish? But I can't get inside the mind of someone like that.
But, you know, when people are face-to-face, it does. I mean, yesterday it happened to me, man. I got Dalai Lama'd, you know, like basically, you remember from Caddyshack, you know, when Bill Murray got nothing for helping out the llama.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I wish you, like, the greatest enlightenment or whatever. He goes, that's what you're going to get for your. It happened to me yesterday because some dude needed to jump in the supermarket parking lot. And I'm like, all right, sure. What the hell?
Did he know that you're going to sing Van Halen's Jump on Live Day? Is that why he asked?
I think that's what he thought. He says, you're the perfect guy. But so I give him a jump, you know, and then afterwards he goes, hey, man, you know what? Tomorrow is going to be a great day for you. And he goes, I just know it. And I'm like, whoa.
Huh. You should have responded with F off, man. Don't tell me what to do.
Well, so unfortunately, today is the tomorrow he was talking about.
Okay.
You know, today is not supposed to be a great day. You know, I mean, but so I mean, maybe for everybody else, today is going to be what they think it is. But to me, I'm looking forward to today because I was told by this Dalai Lama dude. Who's not that? Well, he could be the Dalai Lama. I don't know. He looked like just a regular guy in jeans.
Or just a guy that really didn't take care of his car battery. But, I mean, however you want to view it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got a good day coming. And then I met a guy at a park that I walk all the time. And he's been there for 20 years cleaning the place. I've never seen him before. And then I walk in the bathroom doing my business. And this guy goes, hey, you know what? 10 more years and I'm retired. It was like, he just like, yeah, I just walk around the corner and he just doesn't know me. I don't know him. And he starts telling me all his retirement plans.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wow, he's got it all laid out and everything. And I'm like, you know what? It's like, thank you, because I don't think I have my retirement as, like, buttoned down as you. You've given me a lot of great information, random guy in the park.
Dude, I mean, it's cheesy as this is, but a pleasant conversation with a stranger can actually make your day.
Yes.
So often, like, I'll just have, like, a random, like, interaction with somebody at it could be at a shopping place, like, you know, like a Costco while waiting in line or even, like, you know, in the elevator. And if you just have, like, a quick, fun, small talk, and it's like, that was actually really pleasant. And it kind of puts an extra pep in your step.
Oh, a little pep in your step. So I had two of them yesterday then. So I got a lot of pep.
So, man, today's going to be a special day for you.
That's what I'm told. That's what he told me.
Somebody said I was at my stepson's apartment when his neighbor needed a jump. In return, he gave me a heaping handful of weed. Awesome. From Eric and Yelm.
Okay, that all I got was a heap. It was just like right out of Caddyshack. You will have internal enlightenment. It was like nothing else. Like, geez, buddy, I mean, you're at the QFC or something. You can't give me a little, you know, like a little sweet from the bakery? Nothing.
Somebody talked about the time that they quit. My job used the virus as an excuse to not give us an annual raise. So I stood up on my desk and I quit with a megaphone. Best day ever.
Oh, megaphone.
What a powerful moment.
Oh, the only problem with that was no one recorded it. See, come on, people.
Yeah, you got to look at one of your coworkers and be like, you might want to film this.
Yes, exactly.
Or record this. I guess it's not really film.
You know what, kid. Go back to the old days. Get out your Super 8, yeah. Kid. Let's film this.
Get the projector out, kid.
That's what we're going to do. I don't know if you've seen this, but parents have spent an additional 5 hours a week playing video games with their kids in the recent months. It's all for, the, I guess, in a way for them to stay connected with their kids.
Dude, that's so funny because I just saw one of my old college buddies, Samantha, posted on her Facebook. I'm trying to find the post. Like, she's been reluctant to let her kids play video games until right now, and part of it's because of what's going on in the world. It's just like, you know, we got to give them something to do as an activity. But then she shared like this really long post that was cool about what she's learned because of that. And it's like, I didn't realize I could use video games as a way to teach my kids to be to not be sore losers, to handle victory with grace and all this. It was like. I mean, it's stuff that I wouldn't think about. I'd be like making fun of my daughter if I beat her in Pac-Man. I'd be like, suck it, kid.
Yeah, you would.
Maybe I need to like rethink that and save this post.
Yeah, you really should.
But I was like, that's kind of a cool way to like to use video games as a parenting teaching lesson.
Dude, I've been telling people of my generation when, you know, because they were always afraid. The biggest one I remember is Magic the Gathering, because Magic the Gathering had all these Dungeons and Dragons kind of pictures on there. So you'd have these devilish looking things. And the parents were losing their damn minds like, oh, I don't want my kids in a cult. And I used to tell every parent, you don't understand. If your kid is smart enough to grasp that game and actually be able to play it, you got a rocket scientist on your hands. And the funny thing is one of the kids literally is now a rocket scientist. That's so funny. He's a literal, and his mom was the one that was worried. And I'm going, don't worry, you're fine with this. These games, like you said, Steve, are very educational. You can learn a lot from this.
Because like an old school stigma that, oh, you're not going out and playing with your friends. But that's how people socialize now. Like, with the way that video games are now, I mean, you can be friends with somebody in a different part of the country or in a different part of the world. Yeah, here's what she said. The most interesting part of this new situation, she just finally backed down and said, okay, my 4-year-old and 6-year-old can finally play some video games. She says, my awareness of trying to teach them how to play fair, how to accept defeat when other ones lose, how it's not okay to punch the other one or go into full battle royale after every loss, and to better understand that sometimes in life you don't always get what you want and you have to try a little harder to get better.
Yeah, it's really something, man, because the key to martial arts is the fact that your opponent is actually working with you to make you better. Yeah, because the true opponent in anything is you. In any challenge, it's you.
And the key to Double Dragon, which is a martial arts game on Sega Genesis,
how do you think I mash
that A button until you pulverize their face.
How do you think I learned my martial arts skills, Steve?
Double Dragon?
Double Dragon and, of course, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. I know that's the better one, but I was more of a Double Dragon
guy. I'm not going to hate on Double Dragon. Yeah. That was a good game.
Fatality.
But, I mean, Mortal Kombat is, yeah, it is the gold standard.
It was the only reason why I wanted Sega Genesis. I was like, I just need to get it because we love playing Double Dragon in the arcades.
Yeah. Listen, nothing
arcades were these places that where you would play video games in a room with your strangers.
I'm a 90s
strangers.
Kid.
She knows. She watches Stranger Things. She knows what they are.
I was a 90s kid. I remember when the Everett Mall had an arcade.
Oh, the Everett Mall.
That was the coolest, and I never had quarters to go play, so I would just watch other kids play.
Aww. Yeah. Well, this study says that 6 in 10 parents have enjoyed gaming sessions with their children, Fortnite, FIFA, stuff like that. And a tenth of them said they have actually picked up a joystick for the first time in their lives because they wanted to share quality time with their youngsters, which, by the way, there's an idea. You know, you got to get involved with people are involved with by doing it with them so you can see why they love what they love.
Well, someone said my son's grandma just bought an Xbox to stay in some with him. Stay in touch with him or stay in some with him.
Hey, I want to stay in some with you. What is that,
stroke
Grandma?
Stroke just hit me.
Yeah. Grandma, what, do you need your medicine again? I want to stay in some with
how
you.
How about Grandma wants to keep in contact with her grandson so she's playing video games with them?
That's a cool way to be. It really, really is.
Well, man. I think about when I was a kid, and I just wanted nothing more than to play video games. And whenever we go to like family gatherings, they wouldn't allow us to touch the video games, even though my uncle had like a Coleco, Intellivision, Atari. He had everything of the old school game systems, and they would never let us. But finally, one day, he just like backed down and or stood up to his own wife and just like, I'm going to go play video games with Steve. And it was the best family get-together ever because we played like baseball.
Yes.
And I was just like, I'm like, do you play video games? Like, oh, yeah, I play them all the time. Your aunt doesn't want us to play any on Christmas. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
And then it's exactly stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing he finally said, you know what? The line is drawn.
He got in a lot of trouble for that, though, and he never did it again.
Oh, man. You know, that's why I love my wife, because that just wouldn't fly.
Someone says, I've been friends with someone that lives in New Zealand, started playing Xbox against each other for 5 years. I know a lot about New Zealand now.
Well, here's the thing. If you're a parent, 57% of these parents that have engaged in video games with their kids have reported that their children now see them as more fun when they play games together, which if you can, you know, build that really great relationship with your kids, you're going to survive the teens a lot. I mean, it's, you know, that rebellious period's not going to be so bad. I think that really helped out with Joe and I, because we had battles, and it's because I was really a bad father. But we had battles, but we were able to bond over Magic the Gathering, mm-hmm. and we took trips together, we did stuff, and I think that really helped because, you know, we just had different communication styles, but at least through that game, we figured it out.
I was pretty pissed when he let me fall down the stairs.
Yeah,
but everything was cool when he bought me a pack of Magic cards.
That's what I was playing, and I was playing video games. So the game, what you love, Joe, is what caused you to basically fall down the stairs.
Maybe you should have learned how to walk downstairs, kid.
Yeah, why can't you maneuver 2 liter bottles of soda that were half the size of you? Why couldn't you get around them without falling down the stairs?
Yeah, kid. Come on, kid.
I mean, you were 3 years old. You should have been able to master mobility by then.
Yeah.
God.
Wow. I mean, I didn't have to teach you how to breathe. You figured that out on your own. Why don't you figure out how to go down some steps?
How did I not get arrested is what I want to know. How was I not taken in?
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Well, we have got a version of the oldest piece of music that can be reconstructed.
Ooh.
The oldest piece of music right here. It's called Hurrian Hymn Number 6.
Oh, I thought that was a Nickelback song.
That's actually number 4.
Oh, okay.
That's Hurrian number 4. Yeah, it was written around 1400 BC and inscribed on a tablet in Syria. And the version starts as an instrumental, but then switches to vocals. So we are, this is AD we are at. So we are in the year 2020 plus another 1,400 years. So
a long time ago is I think what my calculator says.
My thing about 3,500 years old? Is that what my brain is telling me? That's insane. Wow, isn't that nuts?
I just love how like they're able to figure out what the song was supposed to sound like based on like the notes that they wrote out and be able to, because obviously you don't have a recording of that. I can't imagine that they had vinyl.
We didn't have a recording of that back then?
They had 8-tracks, but those 8-track players are hard to find.
That's a good point.
Anybody else feel like it was the beginning of like a metal album?
Yeah, totally.
Intro song to like before you get into the main song.
That is a good one, yeah, because I could see that. I was more thinking like it's like some kind of crazy like Highlander type movie where it's like some epic battle is about to start the movie.
Yeah.
With thunder.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the band, what they call it, like Who? They're not The Who, but it's like H-U. They're, man, I don't want to like screw up what their background is.
What's the name of the band?
Who?
Oh, he's our first baseman.
Yeah, they're the Who. They're a Mongolian metal band. Yeah.
Dude, they are epic.
They're badass.
Oh, so they are actually called The Who, but it's H-U.
Yeah, and dude, they have a video where it's straight like Mad Max type of a vibe where you just want to go to war. Like, it's so awesome.
Ooh, they've got a video featuring Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Yeah, their stuff is pretty cool, man. Like, a lot of metal fans have really embraced this group, and it's just, I mean, but they haven't like changed the way that they sound to fit an American audience. They're just a Mongolian band doing their style of music, and people have just fallen in love with just how intense they are.
I don't know what the heck he's playing, if that's just a cool violoncello or whatever, but I mean, it's rocking whatever that dude's playing.
Yeah, right. If you can find, I think there's like that one, it's called like You. And it's got like 61 million views.
That's a lot of views for view.
A lot of views.
I guess we put the word view on there a few times. Maybe people will view it.
I like someone referred to them as the Mongolian Rammstein. Nobody understands anything that they're saying, but everyone loves it.
That's nice.
Oh, this is badass. Here we go.
Hope they're not cursing in Mongolian.
Yeah, they're not.
That's awesome. It's super fun.
I like it.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, they were picking up some steam out here in the States. Like, they were playing shows where that places wherever they would play would like sell out and pack out.
Well, maybe, who knows, maybe someday, maybe pain in the grass. I don't know if that's out of the question.
I would not be surprised, maybe, if that was something that was being considered before all this, because they came to the station and did like a little performance in like our conference room, which was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, man. Yeah, hey, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's, what's the name of the band again? The Who?
The Who.
H-U. H-U.
Yeah, the H-U, The Who. There's a new app out there, and it's called eGree, and it lets you create a legally binding non-disclosure agreement with someone before you start sexting. I guess you need that these days, don't you? You need to have something that will make sure that nobody will send your stuff anywhere. Otherwise, you at least have some legal actions.
Maybe just like, you know, make sure the person you're doing with is the person you want to share your nudes with and not like, you know, just sharing with everyone.
Well, what happens when you share it with the person you want to share it with, but then suddenly something goes weird, wrong, yeah, and then they're like, I hate you. Here goes the nudies everywhere.
If that's your fear, maybe just not share them at all.
That's my plan.
I just don't see how, like, you, hey, before I send you my dong, here's an NDA. No, well, dong agreement.
I like that. I feel like this is more for a lot of women.
No, I know. I'm just goofing. But I understand. It's just... Man, I guess it's no different than like a prenup. It's that argument, like, you know.
Yeah, it really is, because look, I mean, you know how relentless a person can be, especially if in a relationship. Come on, send me something. And it's really exciting to get it. And frankly, I think it's a fun part of a relationship to be able to do stuff like that. But, you know, you just expect everybody all involved to be a decent human being that wouldn't send him everywhere, no matter how mad you got or no matter how the relationship ended. You know, I mean, that's just how I was raised.
I would never think to do something like that. I mean, when you hear about like those revenge porn stories where somebody's like, I just posted this video an intimate video up on like one of those sites. I'm just like, well, why would you do something like that?
Yeah.
Like, when you read those stories, it's just like, be happy you got that video.
Yeah.
And just cherish it. And don't let it, like, don't do that to somebody. Who cares how bad the relationship ended? It's just, take the high road in that situation.
I don't know how you propose this if you're a dude. You know, I get it if, you know, I think if a woman proposes this, it makes sense to me. But, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, a dude proposing this to anybody, who's going to be like, what do you mean? You think I'm going to send your stupid dong anywhere? Like, anybody needs to see that? I think that would be the response I would get from anybody. Go, really? You think anybody else wants to see this?
In a sea of dongs, this is not the one that's going to stand out.
Exactly.
I mean, unless he's got something going on, like a tattoo or, you know,
something unique about
unique.
It.
Unique, yes, that's the word.
Then you'd sign the NDA, the no dong agreement.
All right, what's going on here?
Okay. Yeah. According to this, I mean, you got a leg to stand on if they leak your nude photos. You can sue them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't you do that anyway? Or, I mean, I don't know. I haven't sued anyone.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I know because, in some states, like revenge porn is illegal.
Yeah. I mean, because in some places they go, you willingly gave him this. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. The privacy standards are different in a lot of places. So I don't know. But now you can download this eGree for free if you got an Apple or an Android.
Talk about like heads up. Something crazy is about to happen. But first, sign this NDA.
Yeah. Well, we've seen it in movies where like, you know, nowadays, if you see any modern love scenes, everyone's trying to get permission. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you consent to this? I mean, it's like that's the joke of the scene before they're getting busy.
Right.
So it's, you know.
If somebody sent me something and just said, but first, here's an NDA to sign, I'm signing it. I just, because I'm very curious what they're
going to say. Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a vault. Like, if somebody wants me to keep a secret, I'll keep a secret. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not here to, like, ruin anyone's. I just want to. But, like, if you're asking me, hey, if I'm going to share whatever it is with you, you need to sign this paperwork. I'm like, damn straight. Let's do this. Like,
I'll have to keep that in mind. Get, you know, maybe get the, have you sign over your house to me, making you think like you're going to see something.
Well, you know, I'm going to read the NDA.
Please read the agreement.
I'm not going to just sign it willy-nilly.
Are you sure?
Maybe I'll sign it willy-nilly.
Oh, I get it.
And then I'll be like, that's not my name.
Yeah. Nice try.
No. Wow.
All right, we got another study.
All right, that was a stretch.
Steve's a bad lawyer.
Yeah, he really is.
I learned from Saul.
Well,
there you go.
That's a good role model right there. A new study out of the University of Illinois has found that, quote, the ritual of meeting your significant other's family is actually when that person truly evaluates your relationship and future together. So really, this is a big thing the first time you meet the Sigo's family.
And that was a big deal for my wife. Like if her family wasn't keen on me, like the relationship probably would have ended right there. But, you know, being the charming man that I am.
Yeah. Well, were they high? Did you spike the punch? What did you do?
Yes, I brought them edibles.
Because if that really was the thing where it's like, okay, this is the make or break right here. I mean, man, you, I congratulate you.
But it's funny, like, you just don't know what's going to win you over with a family. Because what won me over with her grandfather was when I shared with him, I don't know how it came up, but I shared the story of my dad beating up Santa Claus.
Oh, that's a great story.
And he was in tears. He thought that was the funniest thing, and that's what won him over. Like, yeah, he just thought, this guy's all right. And it was just because the story of my dad beating up Santa Claus. And I'll never forget that. Like, that was like, that
and
was like
I don't know
cool
if
moment.
I would have shared that story with people that I'm, because I feel like that makes your family look crazy.
Yeah, but
that was a good call.
I hit a point where it's like, I wasn't trying to, like, this is such a day to relate, and I hope it was covered on Family Guy. I wasn't going to be like Eddie Haskell.
Oh, my God. That is a dated
relationship. Wow.
He recently died, so at least you're...
Rest
at least,
in peace, Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah, so at least it's somewhat relevant.
Was he covered in Family Guy?
No. It's Leave It to Beaver. Bitch. Was that ever covered in Family Guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I Leave It to Beaver.
Eddie Haskell was an ass kisser to the Beaver's family.
Oh. Do we have any modern day relate?
But he was kind of like a douche otherwise.
Who was an ass kisser on a sitcom that would be like the Eddie Haskell? I can't think of anybody that's the big ass kisser on a sitcom these days. Nobody was always...
None on that level.
Yeah.
He was like a troublemaker that was kissing their butts. Though.
Oh, he'd walk in and he had all the finest manners. And then as soon as the door closed, he was the worst friend.
That caused trouble.
Yeah. I mean, he was really the worst friend you'd want your kid to have. But the parents were wise to it.
I guess maybe, I mean, it's an older relate because it's 90s. Angelica from the Rugrats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Good call on that.
Yeah. The closest one I got.
Yeah, okay. So I don't want to be like Angelica from the Rugrats.
You don't want to be like that, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just kind of went and I was myself. Obviously, I was on my, you know, I'm not going to be I'm just me. I mean, whatever. And it worked. But on the flip side, like if my family wasn't, I mean, I'm happy they like my wife, but if they didn't, I probably wouldn't have. Like, it wouldn't have been a deal breaker.
Isn't that funny?
Because they're not around all the time.
Isn't that funny, the different cultures? I mean, but that makes sense because she's from here and she doesn't live too far from her family now.
So we're bound to be around each other a
lot. Yeah, you, of course, bolted. So, like, your family's, did you need your family's agreement on anything? Probably not because you kind of fled the flock where she's still with the flock. So that makes sense.
And I wouldn't have to worry about awkward get-togethers frequently. Like, maybe once every year or two you'd have to deal with, like, being around them. But other than that, it wouldn't be, like, once or twice a month.
Yeah.
Steve, you never dress up. So did you dress up to meet her parents?
That's a really good question.
Oh, I dress up, man, every day. What are you guys talking about?
You wear clothes every day.
Black t-shirt and jeans. I'm not sure would be the first way you'd meet the family. Did you do that?
I don't remember. No, I probably wore something decent. I mean, I put on decent clothes when I do stuff. I just don't want to, like, do it here. Like, I want to be comfortable. I don't want my...
Well, we don't. I mean, look, this is
up
how
my
we,
nut and you know.
Wow. Okay. TMI. That's a lot of TMI.
And like wear like a button-up shirt and be uncomfortable all morning.
Yeah, we get the. Well, that's how we always see you. So we don't know if you have any other clothes. I mean, every once in a while you do have a button-down shirt, but I just assume you bought it that day for whatever event we're doing.
That I cannot confirm or deny. I don't have any more slacks. I got rid of them all in the move.
I have a question. Is it weirder that I am more nervous whenever I do find a guy and I want to introduce him? I'm more nervous about him meeting you guys than my family.
Oh, yeah. That's I think that's a good
concern. Oh, we're hella judgy. That's why.
That's a good concern.
I don't know why. I mean,
I don't know why either.
It's probably BJ's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're like, look,
he'll make fun of the person then on the air or bring it up on the air.
And we're big brothery people, though. Yeah. We got to make sure they're right for Vicky.
Because like my parents are super nice, and even if they don't like somebody, they're still very polite. So I'm not worried about that. It's you guys.
Well, yeah, because
I also care about your opinion. Oddly enough, I don't know why.
You tend to bring in kind of losers in there. That's why we have to help.
It's been a while.
Damn.
When's the last time we met one of Vicky's squeezes?
Oh, I've met two of Vicky's squeezes. Well, three of them I know, and they really were all idiots.
I mean, calling them a squeeze.
I mean that in the sweetest way.
Yeah, she.
Five or 6 years since I've brought a dude around.
Yeah, you know better.
Yeah.
Because you, I don't know, you're attracted to whatever you're attracted to. And
scumbags. You could say it. Scumbags.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is. I just don't understand. Why. I mean, you're like Sarah. I mean, it's where you like the bad boys of whatever genre you're in, where they're just like, they don't have their act together. What are you doing with these people that don't have their act together?
See, I have a thing for guys that kind of look like me in the sense of tattoos that look like the scumbags and the bad boys, but I want one that's like, hey, I'm going to stay at home and do this puzzle. Like, I need somebody that's a dorky looking, bad boy.
Maybe at one point lived the rough life.
Yeah.
But has since reformed and now likes playing board games.
Yeah.
You've got to define what bad boy means, because for my wife, I was the dorky bad boy. And the bad boy part of me is I had a big mouth and I never, and I didn't care how I said anything to anybody. She was like, this dude doesn't care what he says to, and she was like, she was really surprised because I would say it to women. She's like, most men shut up around women and don't ever give them a hard time. She was shocked that I would fight with women. She was, and she said, and she was like, and you would actually win, which she said, you don't even see men do that. That was a thing that she thought, this is different with this guy. And of course, I was super dorky too. And she was, she was really the rock star.
I feel like Vicky's more, her concept of a bad boy is more visual tattoos, the way they dress and that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going to find, I mean, they're probably out there.
They're usually taken or gay. So I'm not really lucky.
Well, maybe you just need to open up your options and be okay with either.
Yeah, I guess I have to.
I think we have a new game show for Vicky. It's called Taken or Gay.
Yep.
And you have to figure out.
Flop.
So here's a man that Vicky could be interested in. Is he taken or gay? Let's find out.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.